Hello again and welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Eric Bennett, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I'm so thrilled that you've taken your time out of your day to tune into today's radio program. It's our hope that we can learn more about our Lord and Savior and what He wants from us, and that we can share that with as many people as we can. We'd encourage you to stay in touch with us, and we can do that in a variety of different ways. You can visit our website at www.pinetopcoc.org. Our email is pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. That's pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. Or if you're in the Lake Cumberland area of Kentucky, we'd invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ. That's at 1102 Pine Top Road in Russell Springs, Kentucky. For those of you that are listening locally, that's in the Windsor community. We have Bible class that begins at 9 a.m. Central Time, and that's followed by our worship service at 9:45. And then we meet again at 4:30 on Sunday evening. Alrighty, let's jump right into today's lesson. As we look to the Scriptures, I want us just to think about appreciating everything just a little bit more. But most importantly, our relationships, both earthly and spiritually. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll look at verses 34 and 35. The Bible reads, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." With the way things are currently, there's so much of the world that's struggling, both physically, financially, and more. Isn't this the idea that it's even more important to love everyone as Jesus loved us? To love one another as Jesus instructs us in His Word. We have truly seen the greatness of the human spirit at work through these trying times. There are thousands of acts of goodwill that I could list, but you all have heard many of them, seen them on social media or heard them on news or radio station. So suffice it to say that we can see the best in people during these trying times. But what's even greater than the human spirit? That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God blesses us with. We see people looking for answers everywhere, but those of us that are Christians must be leading them in the right direction. So many people may have good to great relationships here on earth, but they don't have a relationship with God. So they're without the light and they're groping in the darkness. Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 13. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Before we think too highly of ourselves, however, how do we have this flicker of light? Think of the scripture that says, we're like a candle. We're kind of like a night light or a small source of light that's surrounded by a lot of darkness. Who is the source of light, though? Obviously, God created the sun and the moon, the day and the night. But the light that people need spiritually, where do they need to look? Turn them into John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus, speaking of Himself, says in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Before we dive into this relationship with Jesus, head first both physically and spiritually, think about some of your relationships. Think of them at this current distress level, and as we deal with this pandemic across the world, that is the coronavirus. Many of you all may already know that I'm a PE teacher, physical education teacher, or AKA gym teacher. And I joke around with my students, but for the most part, I feel that we have a great relationship. My wife and others may argue it's because I act like a middle schooler. That's perfect that I teach middle school, right? As the students leave my class most, if not every day, I half jokingly, but halfway serious, tell them this: have a great life. Not have a great day, as they've heard so many times. And when I say have a great life, I get some of the weirdest or funniest looks. And some of them even ask, "Why do you say that, Mr. Bennett?" So I was actually getting those kids to look at me is a rare feat. I tell them it's because I want them to have a great life. And who knows if I'll see them the next day. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. James 4 and 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. For they ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that." Wow, how hard is that passage hit today? Think about the businesses, those people who had plans. They were going to do this or that with their business. Things that we took for granted, like being able to see a friend or a student or a teacher. And I guess at some point in time, these things will be taken away completely. And when we've taken our last breath here on earth, that's going to be the fact. But here, recently, it's been temporary, hopefully, right? But we've had many of our normal day-to-day relationships taken away. Look in James 4 again with me. It says, "Go to you now, today or tomorrow, and go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." Who thought that we would be on this quarantine, that we'd be confined to our homes and not be able to worship together and not be able to meet together in different areas, not get to go out to eat together? And it says, "For you that ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." How hard does James 4 hit right there? We have no guarantees about this earth and what it has in store for us. Where we do have guarantees is in God. These guarantees are not just a hope that we hope for, but they're given to us through the Holy Spirit in God's Word, the Bible. Turn with me to Titus. Titus, look in verse 1. Titus 1. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. In a world that can and is ever changing, isn't it great to know that we have a Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ who has established his plan for us and that it's never going to change?" Hebrews 6 and verse 8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Okay, hopefully by this point, if you aren't a Christian, you're saying, "Well, this sounds so much better than the hope and despair that's in this world. I want to be connected to the light. What do I need to do?" And if you are a Christian already, you're nodding your head with a huge smile on your face and hoping that all your loved ones answer Jesus' call. Look in John chapter 16, verse 33. John 16, verse 33, says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The Holy Spirit gave those words to the apostles to write down in God's Word, the Bible. We must obey His will for us and become Christians, hearing His Word and doing what it says. Luke 8 and verse 21 says, "And he answered and he said to them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Then after we hear the word of God, we must believe what it says and believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 tell that very clearly. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. "And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Then we have to repent, turn away from our sins, trying not to commit them again. Luke 13 and verse 3 says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." After we've done all those things, we have to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Look with me in Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 32. Matthew 10, starting in verse 32. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." And then after we repent, we have to be baptized. Look in Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then verse 38 reads, "Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." As I told my students, have a great life as they left my class before schools were closed across the state and across much of the United States, that saying had so much more meaning. Will I see them again? At that time, I thought it might be a week or two. Now I'm thinking it could be over a month. There could be a chance that we don't go back to school this year. I'll never have those same kids in my class again, if that's the case. Let us think about our relationships. Let us truly look at the person we're talking to. Let us actually listen to the words they're saying to us. Let us cherish the ones that we love and show them that we love them. Most of all, let us have a relationship with Jesus, the one that died for our sins, who gives us a chance at eternal life if we obey his will for us. Hopefully we will survive this scare, but lives have already been lost, and many more could still have that same fate. We truly aren't guaranteed anything here on this earth. Our only guarantees lie with our Lord and our Savior Jesus, and our Father in heaven, our Creator. Our hope and our trust rely solely on him. I want to leave you with this passage from Psalms 33. Psalms 33, starting in verse 18. Psalm 33, verse 18. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." If you have any questions at any time about today's lesson or any of the lessons that we have from past or future, we'd love to hear from you. The easiest way is to contact us via our email at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today, and until next week, have a blessed day.